just begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Boston and the keynotes, all inviting you to...
Take it from here.
I say, Bentley, you are limping badly. Here, lean on me.
Oh, thanks, Jim. Silly sort of accident to have. I was knocking my pipe out against my heel, and I missed. Doctor says the ankle bone is knitting nicely, though.
Oh. So you've taken to a pipe, have you, Bentley?
Oh, yes. Well, I think I'm the type, don't you? I mean, I've got the sort of face that calls for a pipe.
You mean like old King Cole?
No, I mean the face of a bloke who thinks a lot. I'm the sort of bloke you picture as sitting down in a big armchair and puffing away thoughtfully.
Well, don't come running to me because all your bubbles have burst.
No, this is a grown-up's pipe.
Oh, I see.
Us pipe-smoking chaps, you know.
Us pipe-smoking chaps. That's sheer affectation, Bentley.
It's not affectation. A pipe helps me think. I do an awful lot of thinking, Jimmy. People don't realize it, but... I'm one of the biggest thinkers in radio.
People have realized it, Bentley.
I said thinkers.
Oh,
thinker. Yes, I'm a very serious-minded sort of bloke. I read a lot, you know.
No, I don't know.
Oh, yes.
No, I don't.
Yes, I'm a vivacious reader, yes. Well, classics, mostly, of course. Get the old pipe going and settle down with something solid, like the picture of Dorian Gray.
Why don't you light your pipe, Bentley?
Yes, a very witty writer, that Jimmy Wilde. Yes. Oh, yes, poetry is my line as well, naturally.
Bentley, light it. I want to see you light it.
Mostly the big poets, you know, Wordsworth, Sheets, Kelly. Sir Byron.
Bentley!
Yes, Jim?
Light your pipe and let's see you smoke it. I dare you.
Oh, you think I'm scared to light it?
Yes, I do.
Oh, well, I would like a shot, but I haven't got a match.
I have.
Oh, you have. All right. Oh, well, thanks, Jimmy. Well, here we go. See? Puffing away nicely. Nothing to it. Most enjoyable. It's,
Wait a minute! What's the idea of starting the music, Rabinowitz? We haven't finished yet.
But the green light came on.
The green light came... Oh, Bentley, your face. Carry on, Harry. Come on, Bento, lad. Get your head between your knees.
Yes,
you'll be
Jim.
All right.
Yes,
oh,
Jim.
Boy.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they sing. When the moon hits your eye like a big piece of pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella. Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a gay tarantella. When the stars make you drool, just like Pat's the Bazoo, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream and you know you're not dreaming, senora. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore. When you walk in a dream and you know you're not dreaming, senora. Excuse me, but you see, back in old Napoli,
it's absolutely sickening, sir.
Oh, shut up.
I'm soliciting support for a serious assault on the studied insolence and sedulous swindling sustained by citizens to an extent that is staggering in this so-called social security state. I demand attention, sir.
Then hang on, I'll get a plumber.
It's a sorry sort of simpleton who stoops to sarcasm, sir. I'd have you know I'm disgusted of Tunbridge Wells.
Oh, really? You're remarkably like Wallace Eaton. One might say the spitting image.
You can't answer me, can you? You can't, can you? Take the cinema, sir. Now, why is it that when you queue up for the 2 and 4s, the 1 and 9s go in first? When you queue up for the 1 and 9s, the 2 and 4s go in first?
Well, Mr. Disgusted, this question of what happens in a cinema is one in which we've investigated it before.
Oh, we certainly have, yes. We were especially interested in the fact that the film which a cinema is showing has a great effect on the staff of the cinema. They see that film about 17 times in 6 days, and it gets them. Doesn't it, Daniel?
Yes, sir.
Good, I'm glad you came with me.
Well, sir, look at what happened to the staff of our local cinema after a season of Noel Coward films. A girl we know bought her ticket and went up to the usher.
Excuse me, I'm a single 1 and 9.
You must be ecstatically happy. Oh, to be single and 1 and 9 again.
Can't I go in? The big picture's starting.
No, don't move. I want to remember you as you are now. Radiant. Standing there with the scarlet of your berry.
But aren't you going to take the ticket?
Such a tiny ticket. How well it becomes you. Small, pink, and about to be added to my string.
But I want to go into the stalls.
You go in, my sweet. I'll stay here on the balcony a little longer. But it's not goodbye. In the interval, I'll put on my tray of soft drinks and then... Somewhere I'll find you.
Well, then the cinema showed in rapid succession Stalag 17, Albert R.N., and The Wooden Horse. After this cycle of POW escape films, a friend of ours entered the stalls.
I'm 1 and 3.
Keep your voice down, you ass. Frighten yourself against the wall.
But I said...
It's all right, it's all right. I put a dummy in your place in the queue. Now, quick, take off your coat and put on my uniform jacket.
It's my best sports jacket.
Show me, show me. You'll do.
Look out!
What? Shut up, you fool. The commandant. Down in your face on the carpet.
Seats at all prices. Seats at all prices.
Oh, that was a near thing. Quick, double for the stairs as soon as his back's turned. Now. No, back.
Hey, what?
Down on your face.
What?
Up again. We were very nearly spotted then. I forgot that goon with a torch. If that beam hits us, we're done for. Here, quick, smear this on your face.
What is it?
Shock ice.
Oh!
Good man, good man. Now, run.
Where?
Down on your face.
Hey,
up. Down again. Up. Down. Oh, we've made it. Here. Through here, and you'll be on your way home.
But this is the exit door. I don't want the exit door.
You've been splendid, old lad. From here on, it's a piece of cake.
Why?
The underground will get you home.
And finally, perhaps the worst experience was a chap who happened to go into the cinema after a season of Esther Williams pictures.
We're 2, 2 and 4s, miss.
2 and 4s, straight in.
Tithe's talking point. Once more, we go over to the glam. Our ordinary family coping intelligently with contemporary problems. This week their talking point is, does sentimentalism constitute an outworn shibboleth? Over to the Glums.
Go on, Ron. Take it out the box. Oh, Ron, my very first engagement ring... I'm all sort of choked. You put it on, Ron. It's your place, too.
All right, beloved. There. Oh, it's a bit big for me, eh? I'll try me thumb.
Oh, Ron, put it on my finger. Third finger, left hand.
All right. 1, 2.
No, you don't count thumbs, Ron. This finger there.
Oh.
Oh, Ron, it's exactly the ring I've always pictured. Oh, Ron, you were clever to spot it.
Yes, and just as the man was closing his suitcase, too. I like it, Ed.
Do you really like it, Ron?
Yes, I like it.
What do you like most about it, Ron?
The box. It'll do for keeping my spare tooth in.
I like the diamond. Look, Ron, when it catches the light, you get all sorts of rainbow colours glinting off it.
Yes, like when a bus has stood over a dirty puddle. F, this ring means we're really engaged, doesn't it?
Yes, Ron, really engaged.
Well, let's have a kiss then.
Oh, Ron, every time we get romantic, you spoil it by wanting to kiss me.
Oh, go on, just a quickie.
No,
just
Ron,
one, it can't
no,
do any harm.
Well, my feet are killing me.
Mr. Glum, look at my left hand.
Why, show me. Oh, yes, you've got your engagement ring.
It's got a diamond on it.
Has it? Has it? Oh, no, Eth, I don't think it is. Ron, fetch my strong glasses from the vase. Let's have another butcher's at that. No, Eth, no, you're wrong. It's hard to see anything. There's a grain of salt or something caught on the prong there.
That is the diamond, Mr. Glass.
No. Ron? Ron, you shame the name of Glum. You bring Eth into the family with that mingy little trinket?
It's a question of finance, Dad.
It doesn't matter what the reason, the shame's the same. I'm not suggesting you get something flashy. You know I can't abide any form of ostentation. But this, oh, Ron.
Don't blame me, Dad. I told Eth she should have a nice ring, even if it meant me paying a bit towards it myself.
Glum, we young people don't attach so much importance to the cost of the ring. I'd rather spend the money on an electric toaster.
Oh, yes, oh, yes. You'd look right gaudy walking about with an electric toaster on your finger. F, you're a shibboleth.
Please, Eth,
as you... No, like the man said. Here, don't you see? Don't you see? The engagement ring symbolises your love for each other. Ain't you got no sentiment?
No, Dad. We don't believe in all that sloppy, sentimental stuff you're always on about.
Sloppy stuff I'm always on about? That's a fine thing for a father to hear, isn't it? Those are fine, hurtful words from your only son.
Dad, I...
All right, all right. Your old dad can take it. Go on. Wound me as much as you like. Hurt me. Stamp all over me if you like.
Righto, Dad.
Out! Oh, my God! Ron.
Yes, Dad?
I hadn't finished, had I?
No, Dad.
I hadn't even started on that corn. You never let me finish, do you, Ron?
No, Dad.
But I'm going to finish this time, Ron.
Well, go on, Dad.
Right.
Oh!
Mr. Glum, don't you, Dad? Oh!
I'm finished now.
Whenever she passes by, begorra, there's always somebody with her, but let 'em all go to the divil's side, skipping along as light as a feather and leading the boys a dance. All of the while I'm wondering whether I'm gonna be given the ghost of a chance. Night or day I wouldn't be letting her far away from out of me sight. All the other fellas are getting as mad as a hatter, but what does it matter? Begorra, at last I managed to get her, the sun has begun to shine. She's made up her mind. There's nobody better. Begorra, tomorrow she's gonna be mine. Hey-ho! Tomorrow is me wedding day. So tonight I'm proud to say I'm having a party. Hey-ho! You'll find me just across the way, singing and making a heck of a noise, drowning me sorrows with all of the boys. Begorra, at last I've managed to get her. The sun has begun to shine. She's made up her mind, there's nobody better. Begorra, tomorrow she's gonna be mine. Hey ho! Get everyone around tonight. Beat the drum and get all the people to come. Begorra, me heart is all of a flutter, but she never passes by. Begorra, I'm always there with me darling, so let them all go to the devil, says I. Shake me by the hand, Begorra, she's mine.
Waiter, three more brandies and soda, please.
Up and down the stairs, I don't know about you.
I say, Bentley, I'm in an awful shemuzzle at home. My butler has left me.
Huh?
I do think it's inconsiderate of the fellow. He knew we were having strabulgi for dinner.
Oh, yes, that Italian food's very difficult to serve.
No, Lord Strabulgi.
Where did he go, your Grace?
He didn't go anywhere. He died. Last week. No loyalty, these butlers.
Oh, I take issue with your grace, yes. Some butlers have great loyalty to their employers. Look at the one in the song.
I don't sing songs. Edward, you know I don't sing songs. I never sung songs.
Well, I wouldn't like to say that, Your Grace, but the song we're talking about is Dinner for One, Please, James.
Oh.
Now, there's a story of a loyal butler.
Dinner for one, please, James.
Very good, sir.
Madam will not be dining.
If I may say so, sir, I'm not surprised. Madam didn't half bash the crumpets at tea time.
No. You're wrong, James. It's not that. Madam has run away from sir. And everything in this room is here to remind us of her.
That's so true, sir. That spindly leg table. That bow-fronted sideboard. That over-upholstered seat there.
And these were her favorite flowers.
That's the celery, sir.
Well, take it away. Clear her place.
As you say, sir.
Clear it quickly.
Yes,
quickly,
sir.
Clear it as quickly as you can.
Certainly, sir. Is that picking up, sir? If I may be permitted to question, sir, why is sir now sitting in the fireplace?
Because I had the other end of that tablecloth tucked in my collar.
So my Sir Richard and his Lady June had come to the parting of the ways. Brilliant, ambitious Sir Richard, tipped as the coming man in politics. Was it only 10 years since Sir Richard had brought his lovely bride home to Stilton Chase? I remember lining the excited servants up to greet them. Now then, hold your tongues, the lot of you. Now then, you'll all line up facing the front door. On the arrival of their nibs, female staff will do a bob.
What on?
On nothing. I've already taken the bets once this week. What I mean to say is you curtsy. Male staff will all touch their forelocks.
Oh, you ain't got a forelock.
Well, touch somebody else's baldy. Use a bit of common. The master's car. I'd know that hooter anywhere. Stand by all.
Oh, Richard, it's a lovely, lovely house. And this hall with all your trophies round it. Did you shoot that one yourself? The one with the antlers?
That's the butler, dear. Yes, James.
How do you do, my lady? How do you do?
How do you do, James?
It's James, the finest butler that ever served in lemon barley water.
Oh, James, Richard told me so much about you on the boat.
Really?
I thought you'd be at the port.
I've been at it ever since the master left. Rooney, Only by way of toasting the braid, my lady, of course.
Oh, James, we're going to be friends. I know it.
Thank you, ladyship. I'm very grateful. And now your searches upon your ladyship. The servants are waiting to greet you as the new master.
Oh!
And...
let me go!
Baldy, let go of his forelock. I said touch it, not pull it.
Thank you, all of you.
On behalf of the servants, thank you very much indeed, your ladyship.
Thank you, James. And James... now I'm in control, I'd like to go through the household accounts with you.
Very certainly, your ladyship. I'll be the what?
Would you hand me my glasses, Richard? I can't read a thing without them. They're on the floor by my suit.
Allow me, your ladyship. Oh, dear. Me and May big feet. Another time, your ladyship?
Another time.
For the first 4 years, their marriage ran smoothly enough. Except on the first of each month, Lady June had to buy a new pair of glasses. Sir Richard was now a rising politician. Lady June hardly ever see anything of him now. It was that which caused the first rift in the ointment. I couldn't help overhearing it, because I was busy outside the library door, dusting the keyhole with my ear.
Richard, we can't go on like this any longer. Richard... I'm going out of my mind.
We'll take the dog with you, dear. He hasn't been out all day.
Richard, put down those documents and listen to me. The only time I've seen you this month was when you nipped home from the Foreign Affairs debate to ask me where Constantinople is.
No, dear. It's Istanbul, not Constantinople, dear. Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Richard, please. I'm only trying to do what's best for us both. Our marriage... our marriage is headed for disaster. Oh, Richard, what's become of the attentive young lover of 6 years ago?
He probably sheared off when he heard you married me. I'll find out his address.
I'm talking about you, Richard.
What's that?
You've changed. Oh, how you've changed. Richard, what's gone wrong between us?
I don't know, my dear. It might be the responsibilities of my career. I have neglected you, I admit. Oh, perhaps, my dear, it would have been different if we'd had children.
We've got 4 children.
Please don't shout like that. Now I must be off to the house.
Don't go. Come back, Richard. If you don't come back before you go, when you return up, I'll be here, gone.
And that was how Sir Richard came to be sitting sadly at a dinner for one. Poor Sir Richard, all on his tod. But he'd learnt his lesson.
Oh, James, if only she'll come back to me, I'll give up my political ambition. I'll apply for the children's undies.
The children undreds, Miller.
Oh, dear.
You, yes. You do that, sir. You wouldn't like living in number 10 Downing Street anyway. It's a terrible long way from the shops.
Yes. But she's gone. She slammed the front door behind her this morning.
Begging your pardon, sir, she thought as though it was the front door, sir. I took the extreme liberty of treading on her glasses once more.
Then where is she?
Well, sir, if you will open the door of the grandfather clock, sir, madam is within.
The grandfather clock? Then open it, men.
Richard.
June. My June, you're still here. Will you change your mind and stay with me?
I will, Richard. I will. When a girl is... crammed inside a grandfather clock. Well, it strikes one differently.
Then it's dinner for two, thanks to James.
Well, he's not a joking man. I'm afraid there's only enough cutlery for one, sir.
Only cutlery for one, but surely, James...
What does it matter, Richard? James has brought us together. Oh, let me shake your hand, James.
No, I'd rather you didn't, milady.
Oh,
I have
please,
to go to meet an old friend.
Yes, then let me pump your hand, faithful old James.
Oh, no, Sir Dick, please.
I must...
You...
good old James.
Oh, dear. Ah, well, night all.
Marion of Minuets and the Augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards.
encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn, and the Keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in next week. And...